getting to go to youth camp and be around all that life, right? Because so often we're sore and tired the older we get, and the flicker in the eyes seems a little not as bright as it was at one point in time. But to jump around and to be silly and to do a random push-up challenge is a blessing. And so this, along with some other things, has inspired that. So let me give you, but I am going to give you a scripture in Romans. Romans 8, beginning with verse 13. And it's going to be up here on the screen, and you can look it up or jot it down. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Right? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay? For, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Okay. The reason why I'm picking this scripture out and giving this to you, because I think it's really important. I've been praying hard, okay, and I had my weeks off and asking God, how do you want me to lead your people at the Ridge? How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me? It's time for a correction, of course. A course correction, if you will. It's a blessing to be part of this, but I think we've always got to be asking ourselves, what's more and what are you asking from us, God? And it's this idea of family. And right here in Romans, they put it in such a way, the danger with talking about family and giving that to you is you think that that's a really watered down, like everything is shiny and good and rainbows and unicorns. Family is not that way. Always, right? Any amens on that? Like, right, okay? Can families bring out the worst in you? Yeah. You know, have you ever lived with someone who isn't your family, right? That poor Ross has had to live with me and put up with that. You know, some of that. We live in life together. It can get messy, but what Paul is telling the Christians in Rome is understand this. Yes, it's true. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, it puts to death the deeds of the body. And he says, understand, anyone who's led by the Spirit is a son or daughter, right, of God. And we weren't given a spirit, right? We weren't given a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, like this fear. But instead, we've received adoption as sons and daughters, who we can cry out to daddy, basically, right? And then at the end it says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. So this invitation here that Paul is saying is, guys, understand. Now, to live with Christ is to live by the Spirit. And all who live by the Spirit are part of God's family. That's not new to you. That's not new to me, but it's a great reminder. Children of God, God's family. At camp, we talked about identity. We talked a lot about identity. You can see this picture here. This is a picture from Hawaii, from Kauai, actually, an island. And this is a hike on the way to the Nepali coast. So if you keep going, it's awful, you know. It's just beautiful, right? Garden of Eden, only nothing there is trying to kill you. Right? They've got roosters there that just run loose because there's no natural predators. But it's where they taped Jurassic Park. And I didn't see any dinosaurs, which was a big disappointment. But it was a peaceful, beautiful place. And so I put this picture in here because it is kind of a Hawaiian-themed day, as you see. But in creation, we were put here as children of God, as God's family, and we've made it very complicated, and we've hurt one another, and we've separated ourselves from them. 1 John 4, 9 through 11 says this: "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another." And this is just one of so many scriptures that tell us this. Basically, I mean, it tells us things like, man, the best thing you can do is love. The way that everyone's going to know is how you interact with one another. And so this idea of family is so important. So let me invite all the students and the leaders who came to camp with us. Would you guys come on up? And I've got a little video clip that became kind of an inspiration for the week. And let me tell you, as Linda's kind of queuing that up, this is how it started. This is what's awesome. You guys want to live by the Spirit. You want to walk with God. These are kind of one of those cool God stories. So anyway, Gloria, you have no idea, but you sent me a postcard from Hawaii when you were there to my family. And on the postcard, right, she's in Hawaii with her family. She sends me a postcard, and she addresses it to the Valley Ohana. And, you know, I'm from Prescott Valley, so I don't speak many different languages, but I happened to watch a movie, you know, with my kids when they were younger called Lilo and Stitch. And in that movie, I know what the word Ohana means, right? And so I've got a little clip for you that will teach you the same, and this became kind of an inspiration. So whenever you guys are ready, go ahead and play that.
Ohana.
Huh?
Hey! Get away from her.
No! What did you say?
Ohana means family. Family means
nobody gets left behind.
Or forgotten. Yeah.
Huh. So, Ohana means family. Ohana
Writing's
means nobody
not that easy.
Gets
but
left behind.
Grammarly can...
Technology, you know. Ohana means family. Ohana means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. And so we entered camp, and this is something that God had been laying on my heart. And so I brought this to these young men and women. And just because I think it's fun, and I think we should have more fun than we're doing, honestly. Like, if we're supposed to be the light of the world, right? Like if we're supposed to be the reflect the light of Jesus, if we're supposed to be salt and light, if we're supposed to be joy. And it's hard because, you know, Ben, you said this, man. We're talking about this picture here, this beautiful paradise. And yet, I had asked somebody, okay, so if we're walking through the woods, what do we have to watch for? Because, you know, this time of year, if you start hiking around, there's snakes, right? There's all sorts of nasty things you've got to watch out for. You go different places. And they're like, well, yeah, there's really nothing because there's cats out there and chickens and random birds that nothing or nobody eats. And they just keep breeding and growing and everywhere you go. And Ben said, what an interesting thing. We live in a world that's more like everything is out to kill you. Quite the opposite of that. And when we stick together, we protect each other. So I kind of presented that to these guys. I said, you know, I think you can try this. What? I gave them this idea, and I called it Operation Ohana. I said, what if we do this week like a family, like we love one another. Nobody gets left behind, right? Nobody gets forgotten. Everyone's engaged. And so a couple of them had agreed to share. Connor, I'm going to start with you, man, because you're right here. This is Connor. You want to share anything about, kind of briefly share anything about camp, maybe something God is telling you. It could be related to Operation Ohana or an experience or anything fun. Just want to give you kind of some feedback of all the support that you gave and what impact that had.
So I would call Operation Ohana a complete success. And of course, yeah, That's attributed all to God. But I think you really brought us through and just had a whole, like, kind of unifying experience. It brought us together in a way that, you know, that just couldn't happen in any other sort of circumstances. Perfect place in the woods, hash some crap out, get some stuff out, bring us all together. Of course, we hit a little bumps, but, you know, it's family. Bumps happen. But again, thank you guys for, like, just all the support. God helped us get us there. You guys helped us get it there, and we really appreciate it. And
hi, y'all.
Natalia.
If you don't know me, my name's Natalia. So I had an awesome camp experience this year. Like, every year at camp, we have so much fun. Like, a lot of the time, we have a lot of games and things that bring us together, and I felt like this camp was really on top of that. We all played games together. We weren't separated off into different groups with different people we didn't know. So that made us grow together and more as a family, and I felt like that was super powerful. Each night, we had a debrief time, and each debrief time, I felt like we were growing more and more towards a family. And we're walking around towards the last day of camp, calling everyone, hey, sister, hey, brother, how's it going? And it was super cool. And I definitely feel like each one of these kids up here, and even the ones that are not here, are my family. And I'm very honored to call them that.
Thank you. Now something kind of cool. I mean, you know, if you look at it sort of an experiment, we take 38 people, throw them in the woods for a week. The smells, right, the lack of sleep, and to see what happens. Well, these two, Natalia and Connor, I think the kids learned more from them when they led breakout sessions than they did from the rest of us. I would say that's probably fair, you know. Powerful to see that in a family, everyone is important and everyone plays a part. So Trinity, this is Trinity, also known as T-Bone.
Yeah,
T-Bone.
Hi, I'm Trinity, and I wanted to share about one of the topics our pastor at this group taught us about. It was disconnect, which is where all of our phones were taken away. We weren't allowed to have them. And I feel like disconnecting from the world helped us all a lot. Like, I used to be so upset I couldn't connect to God like some people do. And it was really hard for me. And this week of disconnecting and becoming a family helped me so much. And I finally heard God. And he spoke to me. And Brandy was here through it, and she helped me so much. And I'm shaking up here because it's hard for me to talk. And just her being here is helping a lot. And Ohana.
Awesome. Anything else, favorite part of camp that you want to share, you want them to know? Anything that you guys want to share? Putting you on the spot here. Yeah. Still on, go ahead.
I feel like one of the biggest ways God spoke to me was through these nerds. Just like the opportunity and ability to see the little parts of God in all of these guys. And just the way they're growing. So parents who are here, good job, parents. Good job, God. It's seeing them grow is just such an amazing opportunity and blessing. Yes. Because you can just really see each little part they play, just the perfect input they all give. It's really amazing. So give these guys a hand.
Yeah.
Okay, so besides from all the breakouts and awesome stuff we did, like talking together and stuff, my favorite part was definitely the worship time. The worship was, like, so amazing, and I'm sure everyone else up here can agree. Like, it was super good. They had a band called Likewise, and they were awesome. They did pretty fire. And we even had Ross, wherever Ross is. We had Ross do a rap for us. Like,
that's
he
so
jumped
cool.
up on these speakers and he started rapping, and it was
awesome.
Like awesome, and nobody expected it. It was really cool. So that was by far a highlight.
Yeah. No, thank you. But I think, you know, that's the thing we were talking. I was talking with some brothers and sisters in Hawaii, and we talked about how we don't share enough of our good stories about what God's doing. And so, you know, doing that, you know, Ben Ben, this is Ben right here. I'm putting him on the spot, too. So he came up. I wasn't sure if he'd be able to make it because, you know, he'd undergone a knee surgery and rehabbing that. But he came up, man, and offered himself and offered words that I wouldn't have had at the right time and impacted them a great deal. And Ross was there, and he was offering these words, asking these questions, having a good time. He got, man, how many people did you get singing and running around campus with you? Like, probably like 30 people started following. They started singing random songs, like, you know, and they were just going through the camp, and some people were getting excited and joining them, and other people were looking at them like it was kind of weird, just having a good time. And Grace was there to provide kind of that feminine point of view, but also the fact she's not an old person like me, right? She doesn't have the gray hair, so she remembers more what it's like to be that way. And you know, and a couple of these upperclassmen here, they really took the lead. They led breakouts. They prayed with people. They let people cry on their shoulder, you know. And some of the girls took other girls aside and began to pray with them, you know. Natalia shared about hearing from God, and so many girls said, man, I felt like the presence of God, and I'd heard so much. And Connor shared from his heart and his experience, and it caused boys to, I mean, do you see what was happening here? And then Josh and Jackie, they've been there through it all, you know. And Jackie playing the part, and pretty soon it was like Mama Jackie before it was done. And like the kids knew that she was there. And Josh, man, he was pushing them epically high on a rope swing on a tree. And it was just like, it was just holy moments, you know. And as I looked into those trees, I realized like it's not this family is not about a pastor or a worship leader ministering to everyone, but it's the sum of all of us loving and ministering to one another. And of course, my wife Brandy, I couldn't do anything without her and what she provides for the girls too. So anyway, thank you guys. I love you and I'm really proud of you. Thanks for coming up here. Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. So there's a good story, but also it really kind of proved this whole point, which I love the way that God works because he builds these things together. I get a postcard, right? I'm kind of praying about this. What I began to realize is I was sharing with you a little bit based on what Ruth was saying last week about the simplicity. It's difficult and it's hard, but it's simple. The gospel is simple. We've made it so difficult. Paul told early believers this in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. He said, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Guys, what if we were creative? What if we really thought about, instead of arguing, instead of focusing on how we can argue somebody into the kingdom of God, it just doesn't work that way. Who builds his kingdom? Who does it? Yeah, everyone say Jesus. Like the old church answer when you were in fifth grade and your teacher was like, okay, what's the answer to this question? The answer is Jesus, right? Okay, now if it's not my goodness that saves me, then who saves me? Jesus. Okay, cool, we're getting this. Who is in and through all three, through who was all things created, right? So he's the author of our faith, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. If you're going to get it together, who's going to get it together for you? So if a bunch of us who are just wanting Jesus to do something come together, what's our job? To force it? To argue it into one another? Like try to make Jesus do things on our timeline? I mean, we are in process. The believers, right, the Hebrew believers at this time that Paul's writing to them, they were in process. They were dealing with things, issues, difficulties, struggles. And he said, let's consider this. Let's think about, instead of arguing about facts and data, let's consider how we could stir each other along. In that little experiment up there in this woods this week, I heard from at least a handful of people like, well, I heard God speaking to me when I was journaling and praying. And I've never done that before. And that came only in the company and the fellowship of other people who are loving them, doing ridiculous things like zombie tag, right? Things that seem so unholy and so unchristian, right? Like we were playing tag and dodgeball and push-up challenge and high ropes course, right? And swimming in a pool and hiking to a lake and all these things. And the conversations were around God, around each other, around knowing one another, around loving one another. And so I feel encouraged that way to bring this back to you. See, I believe what God's up to. You want to know. And I have to formulate this, and it sounds really simple, but I think what God wants us to be is more of a family. And as I pray, I realize that it's happening in circles, right? You know what's the best thing about our fellowship is they're friendly. You know what's the worst thing? We don't connect enough. Time and time again. Wow, we're really friendly, but we're not connecting. There's probably a lot of you out there who are like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know how to connect. But everyone seems really friendly on Sunday. And I understand this isn't the gospel, and it's more complicated than that. There's sanctification, and there's, you know, obedience to God, and there's forgiveness and repentance, and there's healing and wholeness, and there's blessings, and there's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the enemy and the things that he's up to, right? And there's teaching, and there's prophecy, and there's what's going to happen at the end of the world, what does heaven look like, and then there's social issues, and it's complicated, and there's thousands of Christian organizations that want you to recognize each day and do every march and do everything, and it's become so complicated that we've gotten far removed from the only thing we can really offer to the kingdom of God, which is ourselves. If we would give our lives to Christ, that he might live through us and in us. That in him we could be considered righteousness. That in him we could be loving. That in his power we could be a witness to the world. And the only way I can articulate that is we're all the family of God. And not just the Ridge. This is just one place where we're connecting. This is where we're living out Hebrews 10. This is where we want to come together. And let's consider how we could stir each other on, how we could encourage one another. I think that's what we should be up to. Now, when I throw out the word family, I mean, what do you think are issues with that? I mean, does anyone have an idea? What's some of the issues with your life? Well, the church should be a family. Yeah. Families are messy, right? Yeah. That's an issue with that. The other thing is it sounds kind of simple because if I tell you to be loving and be family, then it almost seems like I'm asking you to be tolerant. Like, oh, everything is okay. Like, don't be confused. You're all welcome here. But I hope you don't stay the same. Come how you are. Bring your issues. Bring whatever's going on with you. But I pray that the Lord will work in your heart and will heal and transform you. Like, that's the whole point of this. But how you get there can't be me lecturing you. Well, Will got mad at me and was kind of yelling and shaking his hands around, and then I was just transformed in a second, Wade. This is not the way it works. You see, I present to you that I think we need to, what we need to consider is what is a family. Just some notes I have. See, I think what a family does is not always right, right? I mean, you understand that? It's broken. It's like parenting. Most of the reason why we have a hard time connecting with God is bad parenting, and most of the reason our kids have a hard time believing what God says about them is because of our bad parenting, and we just pass it on. It's my limitations, it's my failings as a man will give my kids the wrong image of what a good father is. Because from the beginning, it's like, do good, right? I'm proud of you when you do good, and when you're not, I'm disappointed. And we have a God who's a father who says, you just can't do good. So I got a different plan for you. And I love you, and because I love you, you can do good. It's just backwards from the way that we parent. Family's the same thing, right? You got crazy uncles, expectations from your family, pressures from your family, right? Responsibilities with your family. Some of you have these broken families where one of you had to step up and be mom because a mom wasn't there, or one of you had to step up and be dad because dad wasn't there, or you didn't have mom and dad. And a lot of that brokenness has given us the wrong idea. So I think if I'm going to present this to you, if I'm going to invite you to join this operation, which is what I'm doing, I need to tell you, a family should see you for who you are. A family should see you for who you are. And I learned this the hard way by not doing it right. You know? Like, I'm family to my wife. And I see who she is. Like, she is honest and loving and bold and brave and brilliant. And she can just see things that other people can't. It's how God's gifted her. She has an ability to observe. But she'll love deeper and harder than anyone I know. But she's an introvert. Sometimes she needs a little time away to replenish. She gets with a bunch of people. She's good at it. She's beautiful. She smiles. She's friendly. But in the end, she's tired. She needs a break. That's who she is, and I'm learning that. Maybe I'm a slow learner. We're at 20 years of marriage, and I think I just hit the tip of that iceberg of what Brandy is. But that's where patience and grace comes in, you know, hopefully. A family should see you for who you are. But my daughter Jordan, man, she's like, she wakes up and she's like light all the time, right? Like, hey, best day ever. Like, everything is like the best mom ever. Everything is the best whatever ever, right? That's like my daughter. She'll be up till 1 in the morning with you if you let her. Then somehow, I mean, it's not like the crazy like 4 a.m. type of wake up kid, but this is the kid who's like at 7. Even this morning, I'm leaving the house. It's not even 6:30, and George is just sitting there on the couch, just wide awake. Everyone else is asleep in the house but me, right? No alarm clock, just got up, ready to go, ready to be joyful. And that's just her. Like, your family should see you for who you are. And then you don't stop there. And then they become an influence that nurtures and matures you. They don't be one that says, okay, I see who you are, and I'm going to celebrate you working in all your weaknesses. It's just not the way it works in family. You are an influence that nurtures and matures you. And then they celebrate you, and then they share you with the world. See, the reality is we're imperfect people who need to ask for forgiveness, receive grace, and grow in love for one another. Well, geez, Will, this is really simplistic and it's boring. I know it's simple. I know it's not the deep theological things that maybe we want to talk about, but guys, I'm telling you, it works, right? Like, giving a sermon in like 17 points and 35 things about hearing God, and then everyone's like, oh, that was really brilliant, and no one hears from God, is not working. It's just not working. And then you're following a God you don't hear from, because you don't read the Bible, you don't get away with him, you don't do quiet, you just want a new feeding of your mind. And I'm like, can we stop the insanity and course correct back to the basics? Ephesians 2, another scripture. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. He wants the believers in Ephesus to know they should be together. John 13, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So you mean it's not like something we wear or words that we say that will tell the world we belong to Jesus, but it's simply how we love one another. Randy, maybe we should consider that. Right? If we're thinking about things of God, maybe we should be thinking about that. How would you want me to be there for my neighbor? Jesus prayed this in John 17:20. I do not ask for these only, these people, but for all those who will believe in me through their word. That's us, right? Disciples here. They shared, who shared, who shared, who shared. Now you've heard. You've become a follower of Christ. So this is for you too. Who believe in me through their word, that's us, that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you've loved me. Have I beat that love thing to death yet in your mind? So just for fun and giggles, and I think God just gave it to me, is this idea. I'm presenting you with this idea of Operation Ohana. And before you run with it and you kind of jump to that, like, what are you trying to say? Well, what I'm saying is there is like, man, what are some cool things you get to do in church? Right, like maybe study like Hebrew history. That's really cool, right? Christian worldview is interesting. It really is. Prophecy, interesting, right? Theories about how this all will go down in the end, right? We want to argue about, okay, any sort of theological or sort of doctrinal issues. People want to argue about that, and that's fine. But I think what you guys, if you're here today, I want to let you know a little bit what you're coming into. This is a place with people of really diverse backgrounds, and as far as I can see, at the end, when Jesus comes back, everything is sorted out. He's won the battle, and we're with him. The question when you sit before the Lord is not whether you were right or wrong. You get that? So you can be right as right can be. And Paul says this, man, you can have as much power, as many gifts as you want, do these amazing things, but if you don't have love when you do that, then you're just making noise. And so I don't want to be a people, and I don't want to lead a group of people that's just making a bunch of noise. And I don't want it to be exclusionary, because a real family knows this too. A real family knows this, and I saw this firsthand. Do you guys remember when you had a new person marry into your family, maybe a sibling? The reality is that changes the dynamic of your family. And if we're doing it in the healthy, right way, that can be exciting. If you can have a core belief that God is teaching you and making, expanding, and your son or daughter is marrying onto this person, creating a new family, leaving and cleaving. But when you interact together, it's going to change the dynamic. It's just like us. When we come here and new people come in to be part of our fellowship, if they're crazy enough to like what we're talking about, man, then we're welcoming them because we're excited because God is growing our family and changing us for the better. Being a family, you don't close off. We want to be as creative and faithful and loving as we can be to serve God. But Operation Ohana is about this. It's for each one of you. I want to invite you because I need help. I need help. I'm not talented enough. I don't have enough time or energy to do this on my own. I'm really not even that smart, Wade, you know? There's much smarter guys than me. But, man, I love God, and I know that I'm supposed to be here with his people, right? And so what he's moving in me is he's saying, Will, you've learned a lot, and the Lord has opened so many things spiritually to you, and I would love to download all those things to you each Sunday, but I really can't do that if I don't have love. And you might have things that you're really excited about and that God has revealed to you and he wants you to share it with the world. But if you skip this first step, this most important thing, Lord, there's so many things we could do, right? It's like they're asking him in the scripture. This is Will paraphrase. Lord, there's rules and there's things to do and not things not to do, the law, right? There's just so many of them. Could you just tell me, like, just make it shorter, make it simpler. What's the thing I can do? And Jesus is like, okay, you want to take care of all the things you should do and stay away from all the things you shouldn't do? Okay, pause a second. So is Jesus saying it's still important, the things you do? Yes. Is he still saying it's important, the things you don't do? Yes. Right? In the family, You don't come home and do a bunch of meth in your bedroom and everyone's okay with it, right? Right? But you don't hate them because they're doing that. You try to lovingly or sometimes directly, sometimes you take them to rehab or whatever to deal with that. So there are things to do and not to do. I'm not discounting that. But you want to take care of that. You do this. You love God with everything that you have. And you love your neighbors and you as you love yourself. See, it's that three part, loving God, loving yourself, and loving your neighbor. And so Operation Ohana is this. I need your help. And I might need you to be a Sunday school teacher, maybe. I might need you to be a youth leader. I might need you to play guitar. I might need you to do the words in the pro presenter or do the sound or to help with children's ministry or young adults or have a small group at your house or bake cookies sometimes. But that's not even the most important thing. That's secondary. That's what you're doing. The thing that you need to know is I think that we don't tell you enough that you're deputized for the kingdom of God, that everywhere you go, he is with you. And you'll change everything. If everywhere you go, you're just trying to make more Ohana. You don't have to pretend and clean yourself up. You don't have to have like an army of scriptures memorized. Maybe you do. That's cool. But what the scripture keeps saying over and over again is this idea of being missional. We've complicated it and made it really the system, right? We've taken the gospel, we've made that a system. We've taken church, we've made that a system because we want to quantify it. Tell me exactly what to do. I can't because I don't know where you go and what you're really good at. Because even in the woods, I see Jackie and Brandy, even though there's some parallels, the way they interacted with these young women is different and both beautiful, right? And then also, you know, you get sisters, right? Like, I'll tell you what, T-Bone and Jen are different people. They live in the same house, but they're different people, and one of them is going to respond to one type of person, and one is the other. And one of you are that type of person. And so Operation Ohana is this. I would love nothing more than to see this whole place, right? This whole town, our whole community catch fire for Jesus. I want to catch more fire for Jesus. I want to have some more fun with this. But I need your help. I need you to go and do this everywhere that you go and do it here. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be messy and you're still going to have boundaries. You're going to have to keep asking God to redefine what that looks like for you and how that works because it's probably not what you think it is. But I'm telling you, at a core, this is where we begin. Every one of you is not a temporary creation, but an eternal being. And where you'll spend eternity is what's in question. You'll have great value and great gifts. But you can use those gifts in a really strong way or a really weak way. And when I invite you to step out, you might blow it quite a few times. Because I have, and I do. But sometimes in family, I had brothers, you know. I had a sister. I remember a couple times, you know, smacking each other a little bit, getting in some fights. Yeah, it was scary. She knows. I remember plenty of pickup football games ending in tears because one person has made a mistake and got the other. Or one sibling has come home and the other one has stole their bubble gum. Or, right? Like, yeah, right? When you live together in this proximity, and I don't know because, I mean, I know that, but I know that we all can't have dinner, right? All the time. But if we don't spend any time together, if you're not connected to anyone, so if each one of you could like be intentional about saying, wow, you know, Will, I think you're right. And I want to ask God about that. And he's like, yeah, you know what? You have a perfect opportunity. One, to make sure that you are connected. And two, to invite someone else to be connected. And again, and again, and again, in all these letters that Paul wrote to the Christians, he's like, guys, you're in a world, as Ben said, where everything is out to kill you. and destroy you. Everything is out there to kill you and destroy you. And if you don't stick together, you don't got much of a shot. Hebrews 10. So Reggie, if I was to put it like this. Hey, people here at the Ridge, people of Prescott Valley and Dewey and Chino and Paulden and Humboldt. Here's what I need your help with. Let us consider. Let us be creative. Let us just throw our old paradigm out, okay? And ask God to create in us a new one that would give us ways and teach us how to stir up one another in love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to ask you to ask God. Don't just take my word for it. But ask God how you might respond to this invitation, if you will, this Operation Ohana, that he might use you to build his kingdom, to spread his gospel in deeds and maybe even sometime in words. That's right. Is that one? Oh, there we go. That happens too, spiritual warfare on your sound equipment. I guess we're getting somewhere then if that's kind of happening, right? That's good news. Didn't all go smooth on that? That's okay, because that... See, but do you see this though? Check this out, okay? Now, if I step away, someone got irritated about it. And they want it to be smooth and like pretty, right? Like everything's got to be smooth in church. You can't have like a snafu or dead air. But at family, you just don't even know, right? Because some kid, I mean, crazy things happen. You're at a family get together. I have a big family, so God showed me. There'd be some baby running around, pulling their diaper off, running around, right? It just does not go smooth all the time. So if I invite you to be part of an imperfect family, then we just smile and say, oh, yeah, I guess we're getting somewhere, right? And we have a little fun with it. And then if I came in and I didn't know about Jesus, then I wouldn't think that he was some stuffy, awful God who hated everything fun. But instead, I would realize that he created humans. Created imperfect people who are in process just like me. And then what if I could even be honest enough to say I'm not perfect, Richard? Oh, that would be amazing. Right? It would be, huh? So, hey, thanks for listening to my heart. Thank you for agreeing just to pray about that. And I wonder what part he wants you to play. Lord, I thank you for the young men and women of the youth group. They're not a separate thing from the church, but they're part of the church. And they experienced that all this week, the tiredness, the mountaintops experiences, the bickering, the stress, indigestion, all the things that you can get, Lord, in this world. And they rose up because they held on to each other. Lord, as we study your word, as we pray together, as we learn new things, as we reach out to our community, help us to do this together. And I know, Lord, that you need to draw us away individually at times so that you can refuel us. But Lord, let us be a people who are walking in the Spirit, and because we're walking in the Spirit, we are children of God. And if I'm a child of God, and Wade is a child of God, and Reggie is a child of God, and Orion is a child of God, and Brandy's a child of God, and Natalia is a child of God, and Josh is a child of God, and Trinity is a child of God, we all have the same dad, which makes us brothers and sisters, and we can be a family. And so this is why you give us this beautiful metaphor, Lord. Help us to be people that actually spend enough time, that are present enough in the moment, that we can know one another, that we can be known. And in that, we can stir one another on in good works and in love. And when we're known, celebrate the good in us, that we can celebrate how we're like our Father. And this stirring on will just grow us in maturity and grow us, and we can celebrate what God is doing together, and we can share all this with the world. How do we do it, Lord? I don't know. How will I do it? How will Jakey do it? How will Nick do it? How will Ben do it? It's probably going to look different. And so, Lord, I invite you to speak. I just invite you to speak to the hearts of your children, Lord. Whether it be speaking to them now, Lord. Whether it be something they read in your word that comes alive for them. A conversation they have with someone else who loves them. I accept this invitation to be family. I accept Operation Ohana. Bless this and bless us in Jesus' name.